Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Remember to visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy, it's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
High blood pressure, measured at 140 milligrams Hg over 80 milligrams Hg or higher, is aptly called, the silent killer, because it typically has no symptoms. Although the condition often flies under the radar, it can lead to stroke, an enlarged heart, congestive heart failure, arterial sclerosis, damage to and subsequent narrowing of the arteries, mental decline, kidney and eye damage, and of course, early death. According to the American Heart Association's, 1 in 3 adults in the United States suffers from high blood pressure. Today we'll be discussing the risk factors that can make you vulnerable and natural ways to bring the pressure down. Interestingly enough, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, which is a subsidiary of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, their definition of high blood pressure is high blood pressure is a common disease in which blood flows through the blood vessels or the arteries at a higher than normal pressure. Now, blood pressure is the force of blood pushing against the walls of the arteries as the heart pumps blood. High blood pressure, sometimes called hypertension, happens when this force is too high. Healthcare workers check blood pressure readings the same way for children, teens, and adults. They use a gauge, a stethoscope, or an electronic sensor, and a blood pressure cuff. With this equipment, they measure two things. Systolic pressure, which is blood pressure when the heart beats while pumping blood, and diastolic pressure, blood pressure when the heart is at rest between beats. Healthcare workers write blood pressure numbers with the systolic number and the Healthcare workers write blood pressure numbers with the systolic number above the diastolic number. For example, 118 over 76. People usually read it that way, 118 over 76 millimeters of mercury. Now, normal blood pressure for an adult is defined as a systolic pressure below 120 and a systolic... Normal blood pressure for adults is defined as a systolic pressure below 120 and a diastolic pressure below 80. It is normal for blood pressure to change when you sleep, wake up, when you're excited, and when you're nervous. When you're active, it is normal for your blood pressure to increase. However, once the activity stops, your blood pressure returns to your normal baseline range. Blood pressure normally rises with age and body size. Newborn babies often have very low blood pressure numbers that are considered normal for babies, while older teens have numbers similar to adults. Abnormal increases in blood pressure are defined as having blood pressures higher than 120 over 80. Now, they say this chart kind of gives you a rough idea, like prehypertension, the stage of prehypertension, 120 to 139 over 80 to 89. High blood pressure stage 1, 140 to 159 and 90 to 99 for the diastolic. High blood pressure stage 2, 160 or higher over 100 or higher. These ranges in this table are blood pressure guides for adults who do not have any short-term serious illnesses. People with diabetes and chronic kidney disease should keep their blood pressures below 130 over 80. Now, the thing about blood pressure is the reason they call it the silent killer is because it really is a silent killer. We don't notice a lot of changes. We don't notice a lot of problems, you know, in everyday routines. Now, sometimes people will notice flushes and redness in their face. But honestly, it pretty well is kind of silent, and a lot of people do not even know what their blood pressure levels are, and not only having this level at the tip of your tongue if you're ever asked, but it's good to know, especially if it's a high level and it needs to be worked on. Now, when you're looking at the big picture in blood pressure, by keeping your blood pressure healthy and in a healthy range, you're reducing your risk of the walls of your blood vessels becoming overstretched and injured. You're reducing the risk of having a heart attack or stroke and of developing heart failure, kidney failure, and peripheral vascular disease. And you're protecting your entire body so that your tissues receive regular supplies of blood that is rich in the oxygen that it needs. Very important. The organs of our body need oxygen. Oxygen is carried through the body, through the blood. When the heart beats, it creates pressure that pushes blood through a network of tube-shaped arteries and veins, also known as blood vessels and capillaries. The pressure, blood pressure, is a result of two forces. The first force occurs when the blood is pumped out of the heart and into the arteries that are part of the circulatory system. The second force is created as the heart rests between heartbeats. These two forces are each represented by the numbers in the blood pressure reading, the systolic and the diastolic. Healthy arteries are made of muscle and a semi-flexible tissue that stretches like elastic when the heart pumps blood through them. The more forcefully the blood pumps, the more the arteries stretch to allow blood to easily flow. Over time, if the force of the blood is often high, the tissue that makes up the walls of the arteries gets stretched beyond its healthy limit and then damaged. This creates problems in a lot of ways. It creates vascular weakness. First, the overstretching creates weak places in the blood vessels, making them more prone to rupture. Problems such as hemorrhages and strokes and aneurysms are caused by ruptures in the blood vessels. It can also cause vascular scarring. Second, the overstretching can cause tiny tears in the blood vessels that leave scar tissue on the walls of the arteries and the veins. These tears and the scar tissue are like nets. They start catching debris and things start sticking to them, like cholesterol or blood cells traveling in the bloodstream. Trapped blood can form clots that can narrow and sometimes block the arteries. These clots sometimes break off and block blood vessels and the blood supply to different parts of the body. When this happens, so do heart attacks and strokes. We also have to be careful about increased plaque buildup. The same principle applies to the blood flow. Cholesterol and plaque buildup are the damage sites in the arteries that are caused by blood flow. Sorry, I'm going to read that again. Sorry. The same principle applies to our blood flow. Cholesterol and plaque buildup at the damaged sites in the arteries can cause blood flow to become limited or even cut off altogether. As this happens, pressure is increased on the rest of the system, forcing our heart to have to work so much harder to deliver blood to the body. Additionally, if pieces of this plaque break off and travel to other parts of the body, or if the buildup completely blocks the vessel, heart attacks and strokes can occur. So you can kind of see the routine here. A lot of these are kind of built up together. Now, it's not surprising today for people to find out that they have blockages of the arteries and the blood pressure is building up and going higher due to these blockages, you know, where we have these four-lane freeways and they're blocked to one lane or even smaller, like a bike path, and the heart is having to really work overtime to be able to push that blood and the oxygen through those small, tiny little orifices, and they end up being a problem. We end up having severe blockages. I mean, it's not surprising today for people to go in for carotid artery surgery or to find out that they have to have stents put in because they have damaged and clogged their artery byways so severely. And that's one of the main reasons they're having blood pressure problems. So learning about blood pressure is really important. And it is no longer an old age problem. It is something where we have to start looking at things a little bit differently. And we need to remember that we might have to do some things and make some daily changes that might make our body just a little bit healthier. Obviously, one of the best things we can do is be busy. People who are hypertensive, who go for walks every single day, can make dramatic changes. So some kind of a vigorous cardio workout, if you're approved by your physician, of at least 30 minutes on most days of the week, can actually make a dramatic difference in the level of your blood pressure. Also, toning down your weight and also putting yourself into a category where your body becomes more mobile, more flexible, and thereby increasing your circulatory system. Believe it or not, breathing is something that is really important. Slow breathing and meditative practices like yoga and tai chi decrease our stress hormones, which elevate renin, a kidney enzyme that raises blood pressure. We need to make sure that we're breathing and deep breathing and exhaling and releasing as much tension as possible. These are things that we probably don't really think give us much more than maybe stress release. But how many times have we found out that stress in general is one of the main causes that's raising our blood pressure? So we have to keep these things in mind. Now, there are certain groups of people, the elderly, African Americans, those with a family history of high blood pressure, are more likely than others to have blood pressure that's particularly salt sensitive. But because there's no way to tell whether one individual is sodium sensitive, everyone should lower their sodium intake. If we can get our sodium intake around 1500 milligrams daily, if you're trying to strive toward lower blood pressure, at about half the average American intake. So we have to remember, if we can definitely cut back on our sodium intake, we can make a dramatic difference. Half a teaspoon of salt contains about 1200 milligrams of sodium. Cutting sodium means more than going easy on the salt shaker. It also means that we need to learn where sodium comes from. Processed foods, we have to read labels. Canned foods, canned soups, many times fast food, junk food, pre-made food, pre-processed food, reconstituted, all these kind of foods are very, very high in sodium. There are plenty of natural spices to give you flavorings to your food without having to use the salt shaker. Bringing in dark chocolate, now not milk chocolate, but dark chocolate. Dark chocolate varieties contain flavanols that make blood vessels more elastic and increase the chances of lower blood pressure. In one study, 18% of patients who ate it every day saw blood pressure decrease. Have about a half an ounce daily and make sure it contains at least 70% cocoa. When we start eating it with all the milk in there and all the sugar, we're not doing anything other than just adding candy to the diet. Now, you've probably heard that having a glass of red wine can be very beneficial. According to the review of 15 studies, the less you drink, the lower your blood pressure will drop, to a point. A study of women at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, for example, found that light drinking, defined as a quarter to one half a drink per day for women, may actually reduce blood pressure more than no drinks per day. One drink is 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, 1.5 ounces of spirits to achieve the goal of low blood pressure. Other studies have found that moderate drinking, up to one drink a day for women, two for men, can lower the risks of heart disease. High levels of alcohol are clearly detrimental. We know this. And not having any at all is still probably something we should all strive toward. We need to remember also that most of our day, we have a tendency to stimulate. And by stimulating, we're eating a lot of things to give us energy, and sometimes the foods and the sports drinks and the energy drinks and the sweets and the sugars, all the things loaded with caffeine and sugar that we're using to give us energy during the day can actually be working against, you know, the overall way we're trying to achieve a better state of blood pressure. So obviously there's a lot of information out there, and it is an awareness that we truly want to bring about and have more people start thinking about it at a younger age. Want to see what's coming up on the show? Like our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. Let's face it, walking into most health food stores can boggle the brain. Faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, how do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine, packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good-for-you lifestyle tips. Every issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Pick up your copy of Better Nutrition at fine health food stores near you today. Today's topic of blood pressure balance and support is really important. but I want to make sure to remind you about the people who make this show possible. Give me 30 seconds, and we'll get right back on the topic of blood pressure support.
Got pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain. Garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
Now, blood pressure is an interesting thing. It is something that a lot of times we don't think about. We still equate it to being an older geriatric age problem, but I can't tell you, it couldn't be anything more far from the truth. I'm now working with 20 and 30 year olds with blood pressure problems that they were obviously very surprised and taken back that they had this issue. Many of them are overweight. Many of them are eating a very poor diet. A lot of them are not very active. So there are definitely adjustments and lifestyle changes that they could bring into their everyday routine that would make a dramatic difference. Making sure that they're eating more of an anti-inflammatory diet, staying away from the overconsumption of the standard American diet, loaded with processed foods, heavy on the omega-6, heavy on sodium, saturated fats, trans fats, and all the things that we have a tendency to gravitate to every day. Learning how to balance our stress. If you need to bring your blood pressure down, believe it or not, listening to music, something as easy as listening to music, maybe along with meditating, doing yoga, or Tai Chi, can be dramatically life-changing. Sometimes they also call it decompressing, you know, when you're actually kind of putting things into a perspective and a balance. Now, to me, that makes a big difference, and it allows us to realize that we can be more in control of this situation. Sleep. Did you know that not getting a good night's rest can not only weaken your immune system and make you tired and irritable and cranky and moody the next day, but what it can do is it can also raise your blood pressure. We need to decompress. We need to sleep. We need to get into a deep sleep. We need to make sure that we're getting a quality sleep. Sometimes people today are having problems with sleep apnea and they're snoring profusely, getting up in the morning, stopping breathing at night. These are all people that really need to have that looked at, do a sleep study and find out what's happening. You may need a CPAP machine because these are people that are also dealing with a weakened immune system and many of them with blood pressure problems. So how do you sleep at night? Do you get up feeling refreshed in the morning? Do you feel like you're rejuvenated? Are you as tired in the morning when you went to bed at night? Are we just going through the motions? We don't put enough emphasis on a great night's rest. We know we need it. But if we have the choice of watching a television program or we get on our smartphones and all of a sudden it's 2 hours later and we're posting on social media and we look at the clock and it's 1:30, 2 o'clock and you have to be up at 5 or 6 or 7, that's not giving you enough sleep to really recharge your batteries. Sometimes we have to be a little stronger. Sometimes we have to be a little bit more grown up and realize that if we don't charge our batteries, how in the world are we going to be able to cope the next day and deal with everyday stress and re-deal with all the stuff that we didn't take care of the day before? And how strong are we going to be able to give the focus and attentiveness that we need if we're not rested and recharged? Put it in perspective. How do you feel in the morning when you forgot to plug in your cell phone and you wake up and it's dead? Oh my goodness, the world is ended. Every single day we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, now I'm going to have to look for plugs all day long. And wherever you go, you're looking for a place to plug in. You know, can I sit by that plug? You know, can I get this plugged in? Oh my goodness, of all days, I've got all these phone calls and I have a dead phone. We're frantic. But do you ever get that frantic about not getting a good night's rest? No. We complain about it. We'll say, yeah, I didn't sleep good last night. I never sleep well, and I'm really tired today. And you got your head on your desk, and you're having another soda or another cigarette or more sugar or more candy or in the break room looking for yesterday's birthday cake for one of your coworkers. Anything we can to give us a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of an energy boost, something to just, as we call it, get us through the day. But see, the thing is, when that phone is dead, you're looking for a place to charge it. We're doing the same thing with our bodies, only we're charging it with stimulants, caffeine and sugar mostly, sports drinks, energy drinks, things that stimulate our body. That's what we do. We stimulate our bodies. So getting a better night's rest is not only crucial, but as far as blood pressure is concerned, it can make dramatic differences. So how about nutrients? Well, probably one of my favorite of all time is garlic. I think that garlic is absolutely phenomenal. I think that it makes a dramatic difference in our diet. Odorless garlic is so beneficial for increasing our circulatory system and truly making a dramatic difference in our pressure. We know that high blood pressure kills. That's a fact. High blood pressure, hypertension affects about one-third of adults. According to the American Heart Association, is listed as a primary or contributing factor in around 350,000 deaths every year. It damages your blood vessels, your kidneys, as well as other organs, often with no obvious symptoms. Some risk factors for developing high blood pressure can be age and family history. Can alter your genetics, but what you do with those genetics is up to you. And I'll tell people all the time, just because you were given a bad hand of cards, maybe environmentally you could go down the same road as your family members and end up exactly the same, but you can also shake it up and change it. Change your diet, change your exercise, manage your stress, have a better night's rest, and sometimes you can deal yourself some healthier cards. So some of the supplements that I've always been very intent on recommending because of their effectiveness are things like garlic, cayenne pepper. I'm a huge believer in cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a circulatory roto-rooter. It increases blood flow, and by increasing blood flow, the blood moves more readily and more freely through the body, bringing oxygen and nutrients with it, and so the heart is not overstraining. I'm also a big believer in hawthorn. Hawthorn is accepted by many cardiologists to be very, very effective. Not for just lowering blood pressure, but strengthening the heart muscle. A British study found that giving hawthorn to hypertensive diabetic patients lowered their diastolic blood pressure readings significantly. Hawthorn berries are loaded with flavonoids and are used to treat different kinds of cardiovascular conditions. Everything from an irregular heartbeat to blood pressure to chronic heart failure. Some experts recommend it in a capsule, some recommend it in a liquid, some in a tincture. I say the best thing to do is just get it in and find a good quality at one of your really good high-quality health food stores. Quercetin is a flavonoid, very effective for helping with lowering of blood pressure. In a study published in the Journal of Pharmacological Reports, the author said sensed raised blood pressure is the major cause of stroke as well as an important risk factor for ischemic heart disease. We propose that the blood pressure lowering effects of quercetin could be an important mechanism contributing to the reduced risk of myocardial infarction and stroke. Making sure that people are also eating fruit and vegetable dishes. Lots of flavonoid-rich foods in their diet. A study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found that giving healthy men a quercetin supplement of 200 milligrams a day increased their blood levels of nitric acid, which may help vessels dilate and lower blood pressure. Now, going back to the sleep factor again, remember, the sleep hormone, melatonin, may increase a normal drop in pressure that occurs during sleep, perhaps protecting the heart from damage. Italian researchers recruited healthy women and also women with high blood pressure. They were divided into two groups. And one group was given melatonin for 3 weeks, while the other group was given a placebo. After 3 weeks, the two groups switched treatments. The study, which was published in the American Journal of Hypertension, found that blood pressure dropped more at night when the women were taking melatonin. Very effective. I think it's very, very good. I'm not sure you've heard of celery before as a supplement. Obviously, we love celery and eat celery. But according to the information published by the National Institute of Health, celery reduced high blood pressure in more than 87% of patients participating in a Chinese study. Patients mixed celery juice with honey and took the mixture 3 times a day for up to a week. The difference in blood pressure after treatment with celery, both diastolic and systolic, was significant. It's amazing how food and vegetables can work for us if we're just eating a diet that allows our body to be able to get the benefit. Yeah, I think sometimes we just don't give our body the tools that it needs. And I think sometimes because of that, you know, we end up paying the price. The mineral potassium works along with sodium to control your body's fluid balance. Sodium draws water into your blood, raising the pressure, while potassium has the opposite effect. By increasing your intake of potassium-rich foods while reducing your intake of those high in sodium, you're more likely to achieve a favorable blood pressure. Foods high in potassium are an important part of the DASH diet, which the American Heart Institute recommends to lower blood pressure. Ensuring that your diet is rich in fruits and vegetables will help you increase your potassium intake. So definitely, you know, looking at our diet, the overall part of our diet is very, very important. And I think for many of us, it's kind of hard for us to just see that big picture, because I think sometimes I think that we still have not grasped the idea that we are candidates for high blood pressure. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I admit it, you know, I'm in my mid-50s. There was a time when I think blood pressure was something that was only talked about by older people. Now, was it because the sodium wasn't as high in the diet back then? Was it because there wasn't junk food and fast food on every single corner? Did we have people that were more active, were busy, were working harder, were physically active, where today we have more people behind computers and desks and inactive? We were thinner back then. We're bigger now. We carry more weight now. Stress level seems to be a lot more self-induced, as well as environmental and coming from job and relationship. I mean, are we more stressed? I mean, where is it coming from? I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's weight. I think it's inactivity. I think it's diet. I think it's salt. I think it's stress. I think it's lack of sleep, lack of water for sure, because we're not flushing our systems like we should. I think all of those things come together. I love the idea of eating an anti-inflammatory diet for blood pressure reduction. I love the idea of having plenty of fresh juices and fruits and vegetables. They're wonderful for this purpose, as well as many other great ways of increasing good health overall, top to bottom. I love the idea of cutting back on all the standard American diet things that we eat every day, because obviously they're not helping us. They're not making us healthy. They're making us more unhealthy on a daily basis. And a very, very cross-section of this country are indulging every single day. The risks for cardiovascular disease and metabolic syndrome diseases, and all of them being linked together, heart disease, stroke, blood pressure, blood cholesterol problems, you know, they're on the rise. They're not diminishing. And although there's a lot of prescription medications that were, you know, put together to help us live longer and maybe dodge the cardiovascular bullet, it's made some strides, obviously, and it's kept some people alive, which is great. But we still are dying from the number one killer, which is cardiovascular disease. And blood pressure is a very big part of that. Or hypertension and high blood pressure is a very big part. It's difficult to decide how to wrap our mind around the whole idea of how to get healthy. One of the best ways I think we can do it is to look at things in a little bit more of a moderation. You know, try to be good 70% of the time. That's a huge, gigantic change for most people. If you can eat a good diet 70% of the time, you're going to be healthier for it. And many times you're going to feel so much better that you're going to want to do it more than 70%. You know, drink more water during the year round, not just during the summer when you're showing those signs of dehydration, but all year long. Flush your body. If you have a hard time measuring your water, put it in a half a gallon container. Fill it up in the morning. It needs to be empty by bedtime. That's 8 8-ounce glasses. You'll find that in a very short period of time, you'll be filling it up again during the day because you'll be emptying it faster. They say that sometimes drinking your water through a straw makes it easier for some people to drink more water during the day. Whatever it takes to get more water to flush your system and stay hydrated. Dehydration, another big finger pointer at blood pressure. So, little things, better diet, more activity, more sleep, balancing stress, decompressing. These are not big things. They're things we should be doing anyway to protect ourselves. But we have put many things on the back burner. And I think one of the things that we've done is we've done this for a very, very long time, and we're definitely paying the price. A couple things to keep in mind. A good book called Blood Pressure Down, The 10-Step Plan to Lower Your Blood Pressure in 4 Weeks Without Prescription Drugs by Janet Bond. And a great blog, the Blood Pressure Blog, .blogspot.com. Something to definitely keep in mind. I think you'll find that there's some really good stuff out there. You know, and talking to the folks at your health food store, picking up a copy of Better Nutrition magazine, because these are things that are very important. Inflammation is a huge issue today. Some of the wonderful products made by Europharma are amazing for helping to reduce inflammation. Make sure to visit their webpage, europharmausa.com. Inflammation, sodium, inactivity, weight, obesity, lack of sleep, these are things that we can control. So how do we get on course? Well, we just have to start telling ourselves that it's time. We have to start telling ourselves that we need to start heading in a healthier direction. And the only way I know how to do that is by doing it step by step. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today Show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com for more information on this and all of my show segments. Remember to go to my radio show page at RadioMD.com. And look for the Talk Healthy Today show for the on-demand podcast of the shows available at RadioMD.com. I thank you all for listening. Stay well.